Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. And once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the radio broadcast. Today is Thursday, June 17th, 2021. Today is the grand finale of our incredible chronological biblical teaching of the book of Revelation that I've had the honor and privilege of teaching you these past 6 months. The grand finale is quite a spectacle. That is yet future, but it's the promise of God to you and me as believers in the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. We have been through an incredible adventure together. And from the very beginning, we've been promised a blessing for reading, for listening, for studying this fantastic book. Revelation 1:3 promises a blessing upon our lives for study. And I pray it's been a blessing in your lives. I don't like to see this great study coming to an end, but today I want to talk to us from Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the new heavens and the new earth. Back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, God made a promise then, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, not refurbish, but completely create something new out of the ashes of sin and evil, out of the ashes of degradation and despair, out of the suffering, the heartache, and the sorrow. God has recreated this universe. He has given us paradise restored. We have inherited the paradise that we once had when our first parents sinned in the garden. We have had thousands of years of suffering, evil, death, and destruction. And in the end, the book of Revelation has promised us as believers, we win because of Jesus. And I want us to read here a beautiful promise as I begin today from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We have an incredible promise from our God that it will be worth all the patient suffering and enduring. He will wipe the tears from our eyes. There will be no tears in heaven, only joy, unspeakable, incredible joy. He will not only wipe every tear from our eyes, but he's going to say, Death no more. Jesus, the last Adam, Jesus, our Savior, not only conquered death, hell, and Satan, but now he's putting it on display. Death shall be no more. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. That's all gone. We're often asked, what about evil? In the end, God has the final word. Evil, no more. And just in case we are thinking, is this really true? He says, look, I'm not only making things new, but John, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. For every saint that has died at the firing squad or the torture chamber in every prison camp of all ages for his testimony in Jesus, this is true. For every pain, every tear we've cried, every horrible suffering we've endured, this is true. We have God's word on it. He can never lie. He's saying, this is true. We notice here that God is bringing the new Jerusalem down out of heaven to earth. And I want us to read about that. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And on the wall of the city, they had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city lies foursquare, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its walls, 144 cubits by human measuring. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Is this literal? Most certainly. This is the new Jerusalem we will inhabit, hovering above the earth for us Christians. But now catch and understand this. There is also a new Jerusalem on the earth, in the city of Jerusalem, if you will, for the Jewish people, where Jesus will reign as king and David as his co-regent. And in that earthly Jerusalem, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 26 through 28, says there will be a temple in the earthly New Jerusalem. We've talked about that in previous programs, the millennial temple. But now in the New Jerusalem hovering above the earth, there will be no need for a temple. God and Jesus are there. What an exciting place and an exciting time this will be. We talk a lot about heaven, and that's yet to come. You see, what happens is the eternal state. In Revelation chapter 21, at the end of the chapter into 22, we have now the eternal state. We have paradise restored. We have the heavenly Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem. And only those who have been redeemed by Christ can enter into those gates. The amazing thing about this grand city hovering above the earth, is that according to the Bible, we will be able to travel back and forth to each location, from the heavenly Jerusalem to the earthly Jerusalem. It's very interesting, and let's read about that. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, by its lights will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nations will go back and forth into this heavenly city. And as I said, we'll be able to travel back and forth to each location. This is just a glimpse of the tremendous, unspeakable blessings to come. Revelation 21, God not only promises to wipe away all tears, to end all suffering and pain, no more death, no more mourning, but he shows us where we will live forever. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. We are getting a glimpse here in the book of Revelation of the incredible life to come. We talk about heaven. We think about heaven. Those of us who are on death's bedside are yearning for heaven. We're yearning for our eternal home, be with our family, our friends, our Savior, angels, saints from past. Everyone will be there that has trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior. Revelation 21 gives us a glimpse into the beauty of what is yet to come. And we think about the suffering and the trials that we're enduring right now. And sometimes we become hopelessly despaired. We hurt. We cry out. We yell. We scream. We say, God, why? God, please help. And yet, when we look in the pages of Scripture, we can see the end. We can see the destination. We can see the glory that will be revealed in us. It will be worth all the suffering and the pain. Nothing can compare to that day when we literally do walk on streets of gold. But that's not all. Revelation 22. Jesus, remember, after the rapture of the church, rewarded his people for their faithful service. At the Bema seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, he gave us crowns for specific kinds of deeds that we had done. There were five different crowns for witnessing, for suffering, for enduring. And Jesus gave us those rewards for faithful service. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that we threw those crowns down at his feet in worship and in praise. But here in Revelation chapter 22, when we return with Christ, it says that Jesus gives us back the rewards that we received at the judgment seat of Christ. Those crowns that were given to us will describe the job we will have forever in the New Jerusalem in eternity. Those specific jobs that Christ gives us, we will rule and reign with him forever. We will rule with a rod of iron, the book of Revelation has taught us. Jesus says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. This reward is for faithful service. While we cast those crowns at his feet in worship and praise. He gave it to us again when we came back with him in Revelation 19. And here in 22:12, he is reminding us that this reward equals your job description. I will give to each person according to what they have done. It is so important here in these mortal bodies that we are faithful in serving Christ, that we are a people that have a passion to serve him with integrity, with honesty, because if we don't serve him, if we build on the foundation with wood, hay, and stubble, we will lose those rewards. In heaven, we will still be saved, but there will be great grief for us for not serving the Lord with the right intention, the right integrity. But for those of us who are faithful, by the power of his Spirit, Jesus is bringing back those rewards to us. He says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is a declaration of his deity. He is the God that was, who is, and whoever shall be. It is the God that spoke to Moses in the burning bush of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses said, whom shall I tell the children of Israel has sent me? And God says, I am that I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. It was Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 58, when he was debating with the Jewish religious leaders. He says, before Abraham sprang into existence, I am Yahweh, a declaration to his deity. Here in Revelation 22:13, he is reaffirming to the church, to us, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that started it all. He's the one that spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He is the Big Banger, if you will. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I begin it. I will end it. I am the sovereign Lord over all of history, the beginning and the end. The universe that was corrupted by sin has been remade into a glorious inheritance for the saints here. He has remade the universe. And he reminds us, I will reward your faithful servant. He says, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. We are those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Look at our world today, the rejoicing of our culture into depraved, sinful lifestyles. Our hearts should break for them. We should never think of anything but showing them the truth of the gospel, of proclaiming the truth. We don't want to see anyone perish to a Christless eternity, but Jesus reminds us there are those that are not here because of their practice, their lifestyle, their beliefs. And Jesus tells us the fate of those that refuse his lordship. They are outside the city. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus says, this great gospel is a gospel of grace. You can never earn it. I give it to you freely. If you want it, if you're thirsty, cry out to me. I will give it to you. I warn everyone, though, who hears the words of this prophecy, of this scroll, don't add to it. God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. Don't take away the words. Don't mistranslate it. Do not misconstrue it. Do not try to twist it. God will take that person, any share in the tree of life in the holy city, they will be removed. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Is that the cry of your heart? Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready to spend eternity with him? If that is the cry of your heart, come and take and drink of the water of life freely. If you are thirsty, come. If you are desiring for truth, come. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and you carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? He is coming soon. When you look at this earth, when you look at this world, when you look at our society and you look at this culture, and when you know what's happening all over the world with China and Russia and North Korea, I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I want us to remember, as we have studied today, the great promise of God. And this is a song, I think, describes that beautiful promise. I want this song to minister to you. This is Jeremy Camp, and There Will Be a Day. Let's listen.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to You away. I know the journey seems so long, you feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace He brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place where no more suffering. There will until that day, we'll hold.
Incredible worship music of Jeremy Camp describing that glorious day. I want to give a special shout out to my good friend Anna. We met for several months together going over this outline and material very meticulously, and it was adapted from the great Bible prophecy scholar Jimmy DeYoung, who has appeared many, many numerous times on the John Ankerberg program. And so we want to give credit where credit is due. If you really want to understand the book of Revelation the way that I've been able to teach it from you, you need to look online and YouTube Jimmy DeYoung, DeYoung. His series is very much like what I've been teaching you. I think it's the absolute right way to understand the book of Revelation. So credit goes to my good friend Anna. Credit goes to Jimmy DeYoung, of course, and John Ankerberg, the best at teaching this book, in my opinion. The second best is my friend and my mentor, John MacArthur. But again, I want to thank everyone for taking this amazing journey. This should not be the end. You can never study the book of Revelation enough. It is food for the soul. And so we will continue in some form here on the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert talking about Bible prophecy. I haven't planned it out yet, but we're going to work that out. So thank you once again for spending time with me, for learning this incredible book. I hope you listen to it over and over again, but share it with your friends. It has been a delight to meet with you here on Thursdays. I want you to have a fantastic, super, and safe weekend. God bless you. I will see you Monday again on The Cross in the Desert.